Here's the good news ahead of us today on A Daily Walk.
When everything's good in life, when the sun is shining, when you feel healthy, when your bank account looks solid, I'm good, I don't need anything. But when the storm comes and difficult days arrive or suffering begins, we're gripped with our own mortality and the realization I will not live forever and that if I don't find an answer to eternity, I will die without hope. I need answers. Listen, friend, Jesus is the answer that you need this morning for whatever your condition is.
Greetings in Christ. On behalf of Calvary South OC, welcome to today's edition of A Daily Walk with our senior pastor, John Randall. If you've been listening lately, you know that we've just rounded out our extensive study of the Sermon on the Mount. And we're now jumping into Matthew 8, where we find Jesus performing many miracles. Let's get right to it. Here's Pastor John to kick off today's message on the power of Jesus.
Matthew chapter 8 with a message entitled, Jesus is willing. Matthew chapter 8, I want to draw your attention, beginning in verse 1, if you would follow along with me. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. The Gospel of Matthew was written to prove that Jesus was the Messiah that the prophets of the Old Testament pointed to. To reveal that he was the king and that his kingdom was coming. In chapters 1-4, Matthew emphasized the person of the king. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham and a royal descendant of David, giving him the rightful heir to the throne. Then in chapters 5-7, we saw the principles of the king and his kingdom detailed in the Sermon on the Mount. And after Jesus had concluded that message on the mountaintop, Matthew records for us the reaction of the people found in chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, when it says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. And for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. There was an obvious difference between the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of the religious leaders. When the religious leaders taught from the scriptures, they quoted different authorities. But when Jesus taught from the scriptures, he was the authority. And yet the question that remained in the minds of those who were listening to Jesus is, what about power? What about the power of the kingdom? Did Jesus have the power to make the changes that the people were truly longing for? And that is when you come to chapters 8 and 9, and Matthew records for us 10 specific miracles demonstrating the power of Jesus Christ. That Jesus had power over disease, power over nature, power over the spiritual realm, power to forgive sins, power to raise the dead, and power to open the eyes of the blind. The miracles that Jesus did validated the words that Jesus spoke. And in chapter 8, it says, great multitudes followed him. Many of the multitudes were following Jesus for different reasons. Some wanted to see what might happen next. What miracle would he perform? Others were wondering what food he would provide. Still others were hoping for a military takeover of the Roman occupation in Israel. Much of the multitude would eventually walk away from Jesus when they realized that he was headed to the cross. But Matthew does record for us one man who came to Jesus that day and was in desperate need because he was a leper. It says in verse 2, "And behold, a leper came and worshiped him." When you read the Gospels collectively, you get a better understanding of what happened in this encounter. Mark's Gospel, for example, tells us that the leprous man came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Matthew uses the word worshiped, which implies placing one's forehead on the ground. It was a position of humility. Luke's Gospel reveals that he was full of leprosy, literally covered with leprosy. In other words, he was terminal. In biblical days, leprosy was a dreadful disease that normally would run its course over a 9-year period of time. And from the moment that you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were as good as dead. The life that you had once enjoyed and experienced was basically over. The disease itself was extremely painful. The nature of leprosy destroyed your physical body. The disease would begin with little specks upon the eyelids and on the palms of one's hands. And then it would progress and it would spread throughout your entire body. It would bleach your hair white. Your fingernails would begin to loosen and decay and eventually fall off. The joints of your fingers and toes would begin to wither and shrink. The gums in your mouth would be absorbed. Your teeth would rot and disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, the palate also would be consumed. The skin of a leper would begin to crust with scales, and it would produce a very painful and oozing sores all over your body. And the face of the leper would become swollen. And thus lepers were often referred to as being, quote, lion-like in their appearance, as the swelling caused dramatic deformity. Yet this was only part of the effects of leprosy, for it not only affected the exterior of the person affected by the disease, but more painfully, the interior of the person. Leprosy went far below the surface of the skin, and it began to eat away at the nerves, resulting in the body becoming numb. The disease would act almost as an anesthetic to one's extremities. In fact, some referred to this condition as a, quote, painless hell. Often lepers, they would sleep in these caves with other lepers, and it wasn't uncommon, because they did not feel pain, to wake up with one of their digits missing that had been gnawed during the night by some fierce rodent. To cover their sores and hide their appearance, lepers would wear torn rags around their decaying bodies. Medically, leprosy was incurable. Socially, there were great ramifications. The life of a leper was marked by extreme loneliness, completely ostracized from society, no longer able to see or interact with your family. Whenever a leper would come into the vicinity where people were gathered, with a raspy voice that had been one of the effects of the disease, they were required to yell as loud as they could, "Unclean." If a leper came from an upward position, upwind position, he had to begin crying out at 150 feet away. If approaching from downwind, he started crying out, "Unclean," 300 feet away, "Unclean." And everyone who heard that knew what it meant. A leper was coming. Children would run from them. Friends and family shunned them. They had no life whatsoever. It also affected them spiritually. A leper was obviously considered ceremonially unclean. The Jews thought two things about lepers. One, they were the walking dead. Second, they deserved this leprosy as a punishment from God against them for some sin they had committed. Imagine living with that over your head. You're in the condition you're in because of something you did. God is judging you. He is punishing you for what you have done. The Jewish custom said that you should never even greet a leper. One rabbi bragged that he would not buy an egg on a street where a leper had walked. Another boasted that he threw rocks at lepers to keep them far from him. Another rabbi didn't even allow a leper to wash his face. The only thing more defiling to contact was a dead body next to a leper. For these reasons, leprosy was considered a picture of sin and its effects. When you look at leprosy in the Bible, it's a type. It's a picture, it's an illustration in a very real sense of sin and its effects. Some of the characteristics of sin are seen in leprosy as described in the book of Leviticus. Let me give you some examples. For one thing, according to Leviticus 13, leprosy was deeper than the skin. Like leprosy, sin is not always detectable on the surface. The problem goes much deeper than that. The root is found in the heart of an individual. And because it's below the surface, no surface remedy can change the condition of the heart. Only the blood of Jesus can bring the cure. No self-reformation can cleanse the sickness in the soul of men and women. It's deeper than the surface, friend. Furthermore, it spreads. Leviticus 13 says in verse 7, it spreads. It starts out very small in one place. It shows up on the palm of your hand, but then it spreads rapidly. In other words, it isn't just an isolated problem, and that is the same way with sin. We think it's just some little thing that just affects me personally. No, it spreads. It affects everything. It may begin with a thought, followed by entertaining of that thought, followed by an insatiable desire to fulfill that thought, and then the carrying out of that action to fulfill that thought. And when that action is fulfilled, it brings forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It starts out small, but friend, it grows. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You give a little place to sin, and before you know it, it will begin to affect your entire life. But also, living with leprosy, like living in sin, you know what happens? You lose your sense of feeling. You become numb. The leper would become numb to feeling. He couldn't feel. He could put his hand in the fire and not feel it. Insensitive to pain any longer. Listen, when you initially get involved with a lifestyle of sin, it may cause some conviction. You may, you know, you get some kind of conscience that goes, hey, that's probably wrong. I probably shouldn't do that. But then you continue to do that. Guess what happens? Your heart grows hard. To the point where it doesn't even affect you any longer. You're numb to it. You're oblivious to it. People can look you in the face and tell you what's happening, and it doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't even compute what they're saying because you're numb to it. The voice of the Spirit, you're not hearing it. Your heart is so hard. You've grieved the Spirit. You're not listening. You've become numb. You found ways to justify every action, regardless of who it hurts in the process. That's what sin does. It hardens the heart. You can become so proud. No one can tell you anything. And you know what follows? Like with leprosy, isolation, and covering of oneself. It says lepers were forced to isolate themselves and they would cover their sores so as not to be seen. So too with a person who chooses to live a life of sin. Often you will isolate yourself from people who walk in the light. You will isolate yourself from people who love you enough to tell you the truth. You will isolate yourself from the body of Christ, the church. I'm not going to church. I'm not going in there. I'm not going to go talk to that guy. I know he's a Christian. I don't want him to tell me what. You isolate yourself and then you cover yourself up. You cover your tracks. You cover yourself with your own righteousness. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. I cover myself, but what am I covered in? Just rags of my own weaving together. All of my excuses, all of it just wrapped up in it, you know. But really, it's unacceptable to God. You isolate yourself and you cover yourself up. And in addition to that, they end up being by themselves with others who are just like them. But Leviticus also tells us, and this is the most tragic thing of all, the results of leprosy. Leviticus 13:52, here's what it says. It says that everything was destined, listen, for the fire. Their homes, their clothing, the things that had been touched and handled by the leper, eventually they were consumed, destined for the fire. Folks, listen, listen very carefully. Life apart from Christ, without Jesus, these things that are precious and valuable can quickly be consumed in a moment. We'll just give it up for nothing. Lay down your family for nothing. Give up that career for nothing. I mean, for what? For just something that is so fleeting, just momentary, destined for the fire, consumed. And those who die without Jesus end up in a place where the Bible says the fire is never quenched. It doesn't go out. That, friends, is why leprosy is a type and a picture of sin in the scriptures. This man, obviously you know by now, he was hopeless. There was no other alternative. And yet, he comes to Jesus desperate. I mean, just comes and falls at his feet, broken, nowhere else to go, humbles himself. And look at the words of the leper in verse 2. He speaks, and as he worships, he said, Lord, calls him Lord. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's so much in that sentence. The words of the leper, first of all, reveal this heartfelt cry of a desperate man. There is no medical technology available. There wasn't hope for him in any other name except the name of Jesus. There was no other place. All options have run out. He's at the end of himself. And we've said it before, unless you come to the end of yourself, you haven't yet come to the beginning of God. He's at the end. There's nowhere else to go. Perhaps it was the medical condition that brought him to the feet of Jesus that made him desperate. Maybe before he had leprosy, there's no thought about God. There's no thought about coming to Jesus. But now suddenly he's faced with his own mortality and he realizes, I need Christ. Many people don't think about death or life after death until they're faced with their own mortality. Sometimes God has even allowed sickness or hardship or trial to bring a person to the end of themselves that they might look up in desperation and find everything they need in God. When everything's good in life, when the sun is shining, when you feel healthy, when your bank account looks solid, I'm good, I don't need anything. But when the storm comes and difficult days arrive or suffering begins, we're gripped with our own mortality and the realization I will not live forever and that if I don't find an answer to eternity, I will die without hope. I need answers. Listen, friend, Jesus is the answer that you need this morning for whatever your condition is. The leper came humbly. He came surrendered and said, if you're willing. Notice he didn't claim to be worthy of the healing. I deserve it. I should be healed. He doesn't demand it. He doesn't claim to be worthy of it. He just said, Lord, if you are willing, humbly pleading, you can. Notice the faith. You can. I mean, we haven't seen a leper cleansed yet in Matthew's gospel. How did he know? I don't know. This faith that he had in himself to say, Lord, you can do it. You can perform a miracle. He believed in the power and the ability of Jesus. Lord, if you're willing, you can heal my marriage. That's right. He can. Are you willing? Lord, if you are willing, you can deliver me from this addiction. Oh, he's willing. Are you willing? Lord, if you are willing, you could bring my son or my daughter back. He is willing. And he has ways of making us willing. The leper comes to the feet of Jesus. And you know what? He came as he was, a leper. Sometimes people make the mistake, instead of coming to Jesus, they think, I'll stay away from the Lord because I'm unclean. Or, when I get it together, then I'll come to the Lord. Or, when I deal with my leprosy, then I'll let the Lord work in me. Friend, you can't get it together. That's why he's there. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. regardless of your condition, regardless of the state that you're in, the Lord just extends the invitation and says, come, and I won't turn my back on you. I won't walk away from you. Now, at this point, when this man shows up in the midst of a crowd, I'm sure that everybody there, I would imagine, he didn't say unclean. They realized, they saw it's a leper, and it wouldn't surprise me if they all began to run away. Everybody would have left except Jesus. Jesus didn't run from this man. You know, Jesus knows your condition this morning. He knows what you're facing at this time, and he won't run. The leper simply said, if you want, you can heal me. I'm not making demands. I'm not playing the victim. I'm a leper. Come on. I'm here. I know you're able if it's your will. This again is one of the places I think that people sometimes will fail when they come to the Lord. And that is, we want God to do things on our terms. We want to dictate to God when and how things are to be done, as if we know what is best for us. Not this man. He said, if you're willing, you can. It's really up to you. I'm surrendered to whatever you decide. Notice the response of Jesus to this man's condition. I love this. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, I love that word. You know what immediately means? Immediately. Immediately. His leprosy was cleansed. Jesus did what nobody expected him to do. It's one thing to say, hey, you're cleansed, bro. See ya. Not even get close. But what Jesus does is he reaches out and he actually touches the leper. Everybody's gasping. Don't touch him. He touches him. The disciples are like, they can't believe it because he's going to be ceremonially unclean. What's this going to mean for the ministry? We're going to have to stop. We're just getting started. He reaches out and he touches him. Jesus could, listen, there's many times in scripture that Jesus healed with a word from a distance. He didn't need to touch him. He just said, you're healed. Go your way. But the fact that Jesus chose not only to say that he was willing, but also to prove that he was willing when he touched the man, touched him, this touch of compassion. I see in that touch of Jesus, that extension of his hand, the love of God, reaching beyond the social stigma, ceremonial issues, etc., beyond the medical impossibilities, reaching beyond even the disgustingness of the situation and just reaching in and touching it and making a difference. Friend, listen, you want to serve Jesus? You want to touch people and minister to people for the glory of God? Can I just tell you something? Ministry gets messy. Not everybody's going to understand why you're talking to that person and why you're ministering to them. Don't you know what they're like? Don't you know what they think they are? Don't you know what they're pursuing? Yep, so did Jesus. And he's willing to reach in to do what other people are not willing to do because of what people might think or what people might... Listen, do we really love people? Do we really care about people?
We're going through the Bible here on A Daily Walk with our pastor and teacher, John Randall. If you miss any part of our journey or would just like to hear a message again, visit adailywalk.org or look for A Daily Walk wherever you get your podcasts and at oneplace.com. You can also request a CD copy for a cost of just $5 by calling toll-free at 877-242-0828. Again, that's 877-242-0828. One more option is our church app. Check out the Calvary South OC church app in your favorite app store. We've got an excellent resource to share with you from our friend in the ministry, Jack Hibbs. It's Living in the Days of Deception. Jesus warned us that deception would get worse and worse in the end times. You might recall him saying in Matthew 24, "Take heed that no one deceives you." You may have noticed discerning the truth from error has become increasingly challenging, even in the church. Well, this book will serve to help you discern truth from culture's lies. Get a copy of Living in the Days of Deception at adailywalk.org or call 877 877-242-0828. The cost is just $10. Again, 877-242-0828. Please remember, when you support A Daily Walk, you're helping people all over the world have access to the truth of God's Word. Lives are being impacted and people are growing in their daily walk. So thank you for helping us cover the cost of being on the radio. Again, make a donation online safely and securely at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. In these difficult days, it is so important that we be praying for one another. So please send in your prayer requests today. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. That's adailywalk@gmail.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll continue through the Bible with John Randall next time. This has been A Daily Walk, where you'll never have to walk alone. A Daily Walk is a presentation of Calvary South OC.